All right, there it is. The drive is live, and we see Tyler in here working his second show of the day. What's up, boys?
Look at Millie. Look at Millie in there putting it in my eyes.
His second day of the show.
Hey, all joking aside, this is actually going to be a shorter day for Tyler.
It is?
Well, not on the mic, but in general. I mean, you typically, on a good drive day, you spend about 10 hours up here.
Yeah, that's
I
fair.
Mean, your mic's going to be hot for longer, but I don't know.
Are you sure what time he got here today?
Oh no, I'm not. I'm going to assume he didn't rush in here to get 2 hours in overtime.
Got here about 10.
Oh, 10. I was going to say 9. So I was going to pick you to run up here a little bit earlier. He had to be on at 12, so I thought you were going to give yourself 3 hours.
You were all over it. I planned on being here at 9, actually, but I had an upset tummy this morning, so I got here a little later than I wanted to.
I am not one that usually pushes on this. You got to stop saying tummy, man.
Why? Just, you know what? I'm referring to my stomach. Everyone's
just say
aware.
Stomach, man. Like, I'm usually not in on it. You got to stop saying
stomach.
Upset
sounds
tummy.
Too technical. I'm not a doctor.
It's just.
Well.
No, you're not a doctor, but you don't have to say tummy, man.
It's just what I call that part of my bod, man. Tummy was upset. I had the squirts a little
stop,
bit.
Stop, man.
Rooster telling all over the
tummy.
House, huh?
Yeah, the squirts is fine. Just like. Tummy, man. Calling
on.
It tummy, man.
Well, I'm just going to have to. We're going to have to have some conversations around the building. I don't mind being a team guy and letting Tyler work on half of in the loop, but we need to have discussions about this from now on, Tyler. You hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, you're a critical part of our show, son.
Yeah.
Tell me that. I thought you were talking about the lack of the doors.
I did too at first.
No, I ain't worried about him rooster telling over them damn doors. I need my Tyler back. I mean, look, I'm all about being a team guy now.
And I love being the loop.
It ain't about loving the other guys. We'll be a team guy for a couple days.
Again, I'm not gonna
couple days. Am I on there tomorrow?
I'm not gonna tell you when to do their job.
Well, I didn't know.
But Tyler, there is an opening right there for I need my Tyler to be cut. That there's an opening right there for
I hadn't made a note in my mind to mark that one, so thank you.
For that to be a drop.
That will
of
be
Clint
a drop.
Just saying I need my Tyler.
I'm just telling you, man.
Everybody needs
really,
a Tyler.
Really put a kink in the plans.
I will bring
Clint,
the kink.
Someone on the text line said Tyler, go ahead and say let Tyler go ahead and say tummy. Okay, I mean
it's Tyler's tummy.
I mean it's
sounds good. Rolls off your tongue, doesn't
it? No, it's
Mel's tummy was upset.
It is stinging my ears every time you say it.
T-Mel was trying to get some turds out, and T-Mel's tummy hurt.
Okay. Right. The turds part is fine, man. Just say your stomach, man. Hey, man, what's good with you, man? You good? Nah, man, my stomach hurt. That's how it is, man. Nah, man, my tummy.
T-Mel's terrible tummy,
man.
Triple alliteration
Nick
on your ass.
Nick don't even say tummy no more. He's sick.
Well, y'all need to tell him to stop trying to grow up so fast.
I'm not trying. He's not trying to, man. It's just natural. By the way,
that's what overtime schedule do to you, man. Make your tummy hurt.
Hey, no, hey, and now
hey,
you're saying,
hey, no okay, taxes, man. No taxes on your overtime, no taxes on your tummy.
By the way, Astros,
tummy tax.
Astros are trying to win this series outright, and I can say win the series today. They're trying to win the series outright. If you've missed it thus far and just join us, and hey, we'll keep you updated and abreast of everything that's happening. It's 2-2 right now as we are in the third inning, and the Astros walked out to a 2-0 lead because the greatest Astro of all time.
That's the damn respect I'm talking about.
I mean,
that's what
that.
I'm talking about. That's there. That right there. That's a respectful way to address Altuve.
He
right
is.
There.
He is the greatest Astro of all time and one of the best side dishes in Major League Baseball.
You ruined it.
Jose Altuve goes deep and gives him a two-out, two-run homer after a two-out walk from Paredes, gives him a two-run lead, 2-0, and then the ace of the staff, Hunter Brown, was given a 2-0 lead. That's when you really look for a shutdown inning. And he gave up two runs in that inning to get the score tied from the White Sox. So we sit here 2-2. It's not going to be a long day for Hunter Brown. He is 3 innings, 6 hits, 5 Ks, 1 walk, 2 earned runs, and he has already thrown, get ready, Tyler, 69 pitches in 3 innings.
Nice.
69 pitches in three innings. So the next time he comes out, he will throw a 70th pitch, so we know the bullpen is going to have to be at work again, and Yordan just got plunked.
I mean, he threw up at his damn head, too.
I think I hit the shoulder. Don't get me nervous here. I'll stop. We'll stop the show right now. Right now. But, no, as I said in the crosstalk, Clint, this is just inexcusable for him. I have a different measurement of how, well, I talked about the Texans defense, how I look at the Texans. That's how I'm looking at Hunter Brown. Like, man, this is it. Well, we got a day game. They're aces on the mound. You got a chance to win this series. You're up two games on the Rangers. You can get closer. You can get to a game and a half behind the White Sox for the two seed. Hayden Wisniewski came out, saved the bullpen yesterday. Can the bullpen get 2 days off? And no. You had 70 pitches to Josh Miller. And when does Brent Strom get to walk out?
Well, he's in the dugout. I saw him.
Walk out. Let him go talk to him.
Big old head. He got a big old head on that crawfish. Hey, what does he need to do? What's he need to do, Ron? Hell, I mean, I
don't know. You're the Cy Young Award winner.
He's gotten through 369 pitches. What if he goes out there and gets to this next inning in single digit pitches? Those about 9 pitches. We're gonna be back on track. We're gonna be all right. If he gives you 5+ and 2 runs, you gonna be all right over there?
No. It's not
gonna. There ain't nothing he can do.
Right,
Short of throwing 140 pitches and going 8 innings here, there's nothing he can do for
But you know he's not gonna do it.
Yeah.
How far you think he go? You think he gets through 5?
Absolutely. As 2 more innings?
Think he gets through?
Absolutely. Okay.
All right. That was a no-brainer for me.
Absolutely. I hope so. He may get you through 6.
Oh, okay. It's a 69 pitches.
He'll have a couple of quick innings, and we'll be right back in this thing.
They've got the lead now.
They ain't going to need to overextend him because that dang Esoc just put one off the wall out there in the Crawford box. You know this? I'm going to admit this. By the way, late night Lamont just scored. I've never sat in the Crawford box.
I have not either.
I just did for the first time, I think, last season. No, it was a few seasons.
It certainly wasn't this season.
I don't want for much. I'll be honest with you, Tyler. Yeah, definitely wasn't this season.
Walked into that one too.
I skipped
this 4-game series.
I don't want for much, but as I see this, I've been thinking about this the last couple of days. I like watching baseball games from the outfield. I think you and I sat in the outfield one time.
We did.
Really?
You weren't there. I like watching games from the outfield.
Me and Tyler sat in the outfield together once when you weren't there.
Oh. I'm going to tell you the best seats was, I told you, up there, them 4 top tables up there in center field.
I know you liked that. Yeah,
that was it right there. I think I'm going to do the Crawford box one day. How many games we got left?
There's one homestand left after this one that ends today. I was looking at going, me and a buddy of mine were talking about going to one of these Royals Astros games next week if you boys are interested.
Is it Royals?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Crawford boxes, Clint, are tremendous.
Last time we went with one of your buddies, Blaine sat with his back to the damn field and talked the whole time.
And I introduced you how I eat peanuts.
Yeah, your peanut eating freaked me out, and the friend I'm going to be going with to this game with is a little less talkative than old Blaine. But, Crawford boxes are tremendous. I mean, you feel like you're sitting almost right up on the third baseman, and the ball gets there quick if one gets hit out that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go, I'm all about getting some Crawford boxes, too.
Them tickets, right?
I don't know. Are they expensive, T?
More so than most of the park, yeah.
I mean, you can sit in damn near the front row for $100.
Yeah, they're not Diamond Club pricey, but they're up there. So, Ron, you're probably out.
I mean, let's just take a look at them first. I don't want to just take myself out.
Let's do some shopping around.
I just got some expenses to cover.
Gotta see if any fellas are selling outside the stadium.
Got to get some workout shoes. We got to... Just look at this.
Did you get your workout shoes yet?
Not yet.
Well,
I buy some. I just got to pull the trigger on it.
Goodwill.
I told you, send me the link before you do it. let's hash this thing out.
All right, they've regained the lead. We'll see if they can hold on to it again. They can win this series, a 4-game set against the second seed White Sox, if they can hold on to this 3-2 lead right now. We'll keep you updated on what is happening. Baseball Talk on 95.7 The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one prize, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. Clint, I did want to get to – ooh, that is that hair. Clint, I'm telling you, man. That's the first time I've really seen it.
It's got Romo hair to it, man.
It's got a bit of an Alf look. All right, I will not get derailed here. I will not. The other big story today, Clint, and it happened earlier today. Amen Thompson, he got himself paid, Clint. The Rockets, they made the move by agreeing to a 5-year, $208 million rookie scale contract extension with Amen Thompson, their young star. He is 23 years old, and according to Shams Charania, he has been an ascending multi-position player for the Rockets since becoming the number 4 overall pick in 2023. He led the NBA in minutes played last season while averaging career highs in both points, assists, steals, and ranking him 8th in total steals and 4th in, I don't know why he's including a loose ball recovery stat, but
hustle stat.
Hustle stat.
But he gets $208 million, Clint. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this as well. Is this the right move? Was this the right move? Do you agree with this move made by the Rockets by signing and giving him big money? By the way, I think that's the most. Yeah, that's the most on the roster right there around where KD is. Do you agree with this move?
I'm torn, Ron, and here's why. One, it's hard to watch a basketball player that's so bad at shooting the ball that you can see that he's scared to shoot the ball. It's hard to watch that for me. That's the negative. The positive is I don't know. I've watched a lot of Rockets basketball since Amen Thompson got there. I don't know that they've yet to find what his, like, settle him in. It's not his fault. But
yeah, the injury hurt him last year with Fred VanVleet.
It's always something, right? But whether it's the development, he's young, and the injuries or this or that, like, we've yet to see, like, what he has settled into. Like, who is he in the NBA? Like, I sit here and talk about what I mean, he is a guy, like a handful of guys that I've watched, like, it looks like he's scared to shoot the basketball, and defense is treating that way. And I also say, well, I mean, he probably shouldn't be in that position to be the predominant ball handler. He shouldn't be in a position that he's in a good chunk of the time. So I'm torn with this one. I love the player. I love the side of what we do know, the hustle, the rebounding, getting to the bucket, the crazy athlete. I love that, but it's hard for me to say, yeah, man, paying big money, keep him around or not. Because I just don't really know where he fits and who he is.
Yeah, to me, you have to make this move. I know people like Ocho will disagree, and I'm sure he'll parachute into the show at some point. Yes, the shooting is an issue, but, man, this is a guy who is 23 years old, who has who has been first-team all-defense, finished 5th in Defensive Player of the Year 2 years ago, 8th last year. And as Shams said, an ascending player, a guy who's improved each and every year across the board with the exception of three-point shooting. And actually, Clint, he's improved from his rookie year where he shot 12%, and he shot, I think, 26 last year, 2 years ago, and then stayed in the 20s again last year. That part has to get better, but still at 23, you hope that there's going to be some growth because everything else in his game is like really, really good. His defense is already elite and great. His offensive rebounding skills, especially for his size, where he gets extra possessions, is already good to great. And we're seeing him develop as a playmaker, and he is a great rebounding guard or forward, whatever the hell position he plays. He is a really potentially important piece on a championship team that you feel like is just going to get better. And a lot of it is proven because he has gotten better every year in most ways. So I think this was a move that you understand that you had to go. And I think there's an argument, Clint, of all of these young dudes that they've drafted with these high picks, that this is the best of the group. I think Şengün may have a word that's probably – who you look at, but when you think about everything that he can do, You know, I think he may be the best guy they have drafted with all these high picks. So I think this move makes a ton of sense. And you got to build around him, and you got to have. I don't know if they'll find it. Hopefully, their new coaching staff and the shot doctor they brought in can help.
Come on.
But you gotta have somebody to be able to use his skill level and get the most out of it that you can get. All right, coming up, we'll give you an update on what is happening with the Astros, because they have just gone smooth off and really helped out Hunter Brown, their ace. We'll see if this can help Hunter Brown. Now, you talked about Hunter Brown. What they've done in this last inning, baby, you should do nothing but throw strikes. We'll let you know what is happening there. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson, maybe he's at it again. We'll discuss that coming up next.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
No one close.
Barshow gets into one to right center, going back. Peters still going back. That's going to be a double or more off the wall. Barshow heading to third. Peters runs it down. Barshow being held at third. Two RBI triple. It is 5-2 Astros. Big swing by Dalton.
There it is. A big, big inning, as Tyler said. Have an inning from the Astros. They were tied coming into the inning, and now lead 6-2, and they are hunting for more as Yiner Diaz had a leadoff double and was moved over to third, and now Jeremy Pena is up with a chance to add to this lead right now. And as someone texted in, laughing my ass off, Clint called it. Hunter started the inning in the fourth with one pitch and an out. Get some, and he ended up, Clint Stradamus was on it. He ended up six pitches.
He went six? I didn't even see what he did. Look at there.
Stradamus there called it. He went six pitches. Now he's at 76 or 75 through four innings.
But, hey, there ain't nothing you can do for show, but you can damn sure do it for me, baby. Get me to 6-2, and hell, it don't even matter. Now I don't even know if I care that you go six now that we're leading 6-2. I got a question, though, boys. Is it time? I mean, look, I mean, I know I was hard on the man. I was hard on the man. Still not sure it was who he is. But I got to give some flowers to Dalton Barshow. I mean, he's starting to swing the stick now. And I'm going to tell you, it just struck me right there when Tyler played that little highlight coming back in here. Did they just walk him with
the bases? He didn't even get to the
6-2 ball. 6-2 ball game, and they're walking Yordan Alvarez to load the bases.
No, it's not loading it. It's to put
I saw the little dot there.
Would you do this?
No, 6-2. No, I mean, hell, what's the point? But here, anyway,
not to be down eight,
because this sucker here is hot, Chief. Okay. But anyway, here we go. Tyler just played that little audio there coming in of that bases clearing triple. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if it was TK or Blum. Hit him with the old, you know, two-run triple for Dalton.
You need more?
I need more than that. I mean, we can do something with Varsho. There is really something there with Varsho.
I'm sure Blum is waiting. trying to put together a home run call.
Blum's going to let it rip. When he gets it, I mean, he's going to let it rip. He'll let us know when he has one. But I just think it's time, boys. I think that we put our heads together and we start mulling over a few nicknames for Varsho. A couple more of them hits right there, and I'm gonna have to give him something.
Okay. All right. I'm sure you and Blum are thinking it over.
You think it's too early, a little too early, a little premature?
I know Blum has got to have a call for him.
Well, he just called him Dalton on that right there. I mean, triple.
But that
was
a triple.
Two run triple.
They had a homer. He hit one out of the seats. I know he hit one in New York. I don't know if I heard anything special like jalapeno.
Yeah.
Or anything.
Well, I think we need to start mulling over a few names. So if anybody out there can think of anything, 713-572-4610. Dalton Varsho. He's hot at the plate, starting to produce a little bit, and I feel like we're on the verge of needing a nickname. It's for me, it's the ultimate respect. I feel like we're on the verge.
All right, on the verge of needing a nickname. All right, there it is. We'll see ya. We'll see if that's in the cards for him. By the way, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He got to
he had it again.
Now, not really not really towards the Texans, but he started talking about what he thinks his D-line can be. And it brought me to a thought about what's going to happen as they get ready to face the Bills coming up in game one. Here is C.J. Gardner-Johnson, first off, saying he don't want to give bulletin board material, but this is him talking about his front.
I don't want to put no bulletin board material up there, but they like the line I play with in the Super Bowl. Shit, I got guys up front. I don't got just names. I got guys up front. So from drafted guys, T.J. Parker, Zane, Penn State, correct? Like, we got named guys that actually can make plays, so we're not just depending on one person. Doesn't make it easy as a D-line. We got a plethora of guys that you just go out there, rotate, and keep them fresh. And Chubb got them going the right. Hey, Chubb. Pluto. Ooh. Deuce. You know, that's my guy. With that guy right there leading the charge, I feel comfortable. And Ed. So I forgot about my workhorse. I forgot about Ed. Those two itself alone is just going to dominate.
Forgot about the best
one. Wait to see them go.
Forgot about the best one. They have some guys up there, Clint. He talked about there's T.J. Sanders. They drafted T.J. Parker, guys that are out there. Walker on the inside with Ed Oliver. Greg Russo, who had 7 sacks last year. Ed Oliver had 10 tackles, 3 sacks, 1 forced fumble in 3 games last year of play. He had injuries. Bradley Chubb, 8.5 sacks. Not what he used to be in Denver, but still a good pass rusher. Now, they stunk last year. They were awful against the run and the pass, and their D-line was something that they had to fix. One of the worst teams, bottom of the NFL. They were 28th in total rushing yards given up. They were 30th in rushing attempts per carry. And then in passing game, what better? Right? Their pressure rate was 31st in the league. Their sack rate was 30th in the league. This was not a great defensive line. And I'm just thinking about this from the standpoint, last year, Clint, we thought it was going to be an uphill climb walking into the game against the Rams with their defensive line. And that I'm talking about the one from last year, not this cycle one, but the one from last year and the offensive line the Texans were bringing in. What's your thought process on what we're going to see? What do you expect and what should be the expectation from the Texans' offensive line that they're bringing in when they play Buffalo against this defensive line?
Well, I mean, boy, I mean, that's the million-dollar question, to be honest with you at this point, right? I mean, is I feel really good about Trent Brown and Ariante Ursery on the edges. Okay. I mean, when you look at where the problems could arise based on the struggles that we know of and a rookie offensive lineman, it's guard, center, guard. You look at where I think their best player is Ed, former U of H D lineman. You know, he's inside, obviously. So, you know, the million-dollar question is guard, center, guard. Will the Texans be able to hold up really against anybody? Buffalo just happens to be the first team that we're going to see. They're gonna plan to attack. They're going to plan to attack with their best players inside. Early and often, and the quickest way to get to CJ is through the A gaps. We've seen that, obviously. And so, you know, I expect the expectation should be that we hold our own. The expectation should be that we give CJ more opportunities than to scan the field and make plays more times than not. So, yeah, I think, I mean, I don't really know what to expect that we're going to get out of them, but I think it's fair to expect that. You know, they protect good inside.
Ed is, to me, the only one that should be a real problem. Like somebody that you think, like, I can see Ed getting matched up on Evan Brown or on Ed Ingram or even the rookie. I can see Ed being a problem. And listen, no disrespect, I think Greg Russo is a good edge rusher. I think Bradley Chubb is a solid edge rusher, but where they are in their careers right now, Clint, this is not the toughest type of edge rushers they're facing, right? This is nothing what they've been facing in practice. This isn't Max Crosby. Like, this is a group that I feel like on the outside they should be able to handle. Even the young guys, like the two TJs, Ed is the only one to me where you walk in and you're like, to me, I'm like, I could see some matchups there with any of the three interior guys that could be a problem. But it feels like to me, I don't look at these guys and think, well, they have done so much to really improve their run defense. Like, I don't look at this and think, boy, they've added so much that this you should feel a lot different about them in terms of rushing the passer. So I feel like for this group and what we've been seeing and how they've been talking about them, they should be able to mostly handle the Buffalo front. Ed Oliver would be the one that you're like, I could see him taking advantage of some matchups.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is not a defensive front that should overpower you. It's not a defensive front that should play in, play out, create chaos the way that we're used to watching our defensive front here in Houston. I think it's more focused than that. And like I said, I think it's interior wise, and it starts with Ed Oliver. I mean, if Ed becomes a handful for a first round draft pick, guess what's going to happen? Ed's going to line up over his tail every single play, damn sure on third down, and he's going to create havoc, right? I mean, that's the deal. There's no doubt about it. Ed Ingram, he's going to get attacked in passing situations. Can this offense stay completely out of obvious passing situations? Not completely, but can they avoid, you know, being in third and mid to third and long more times than they're in third to short? We'll see. You know, that's the key, though. You put them in that. You put that left guard and right guard in position where they got to protect for a while. You do it too often. I got to believe Ed's going to get home and cause some problems.
All right, coming up, the Astros are going right now, but what we saw last night, there's a conversation. Has Hayden Wesneski, has he made the move past Big Pete Lambert? We'll discuss that coming up next.
95.7 The Fan. Live from the West Point Lincoln and West Point Lincoln of Sugarland Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Lindstradamus at it again as Hunter Brown kind of mows through there. He didn't get through there with six pitches, but he's going to come back out for the sixth, I would assume. He's at 87 pitches, so he's...
What'd he go? He went 11 pitches?
Yeah, so he's looking at a real shot here at a quality start, which I guess you'd take against the his offense really picking him up, though, today as they allow him to kind of settle in with that with those two big innings there with six runs. They lead 6-2 here in the fifth as they're going for a series win, four-game set, and they've won – two out of three thus far. They win this when they go ahead and improve again this record that, you know, some people like to kind of scoff at a little bit, you, Luke.
He's been tough on him, hadn't he?
Well, I mean, he just really, the other day I heard him just really poo-poo on their record against 500 or better teams. At some point here, if they win this game, they will have won a four-game series against the White Sox. And then, last week won a three-game series against the Yankees. They won a series against the Rays coming out All-Star break after they got swept by the Orioles. I mean, those are the three in front. and that is recent. So, like, at some point, you got to take that one serious. Again, and we're reaching all-time low statuses here for Tyler Milner. Reports are that his wife has made it to a game before he has.
I didn't even think about that.
She picked
that.
A good one, too.
She did. A lot of scores.
And really not even on purpose. Just a team-building situation, and she's beat him to the dike.
Yeah.
This is a...
Man, why don't our bosses take us to an Astros game?
She's, you know, actually, you know, she's psycho him. because he takes us to a Texas game every week. she's psycho M now. Psycho Megan is out at Dykin Park
representing me.
Tyler, be careful what you say after that. Tyler's like, should I stick with the gimmick about the Astros, or should we get personal here?
Decisions.
You know, back in 2018, she was a little psycho.
Yes, psycho from a fan perspective. Take it over there. I don't know about if Megan was crazy or not.
I mean, I do always say the whole crazy hot scale for ladies, that is real. So just take that for whatever you want.
Oh, Leah, let's move on. 713-572-4610. Shout out about last night. Shout out to Hayden Wisniewski. Seven innings.
Come on.
One hit, no earned runs, five Ks, two walks. Like, I don't know about you, Tyler. I know you're kind of watching him, but they, I don't know what to do with myself. Somebody goes past five. And then he went past six. Then he's in the seventh.
Oh, like 2026.
Yeah, I didn't
shoot up.
I didn't know what was going on. I was Charlie Morton or something out there. That was but what a performance! And he has been really, really good outside of really one bad start. And he's, since he's been back, seven starts. Clint, he's 4-1 with a 3.18 ERA. And as this team continues to move towards trying to make the playoffs here, as they lead the division by two games right now, Clint, you start getting the pitching situation together, and we've talked about it. We talked about it with the crosstalk with the fellas. Yeah, I mean, I think Hunter is pitching beneath what he's shown he can be as a top three Cy Young Award winner last year, just absolutely dominant. And he has not pitched to that level, but he is still a guy that is going to run out there and be your opening postseason opening game starter. But who comes behind him? Has Wisniewski for you, 713-572-4610, Tyler, you can jump in on this too. Has Wisniewski passed up Peter Lambert? Because we've always been thinking it would be Hunter, it'd be Peter Lambert, and now we'll figure out who the hell else can come behind him. Has Wisniewski, do you have more confidence in Hayden Wisniewski right now than you do Pete Lambert?
I mean, do I have more confidence? I think the confidence is at an all-time high for me right now with Wisniewski, but I don't know. I can't put him over
Peter. You would see if they had an AL divisional card or wild card series game two against the Guardians, against, you know, the Twins, whoever, it would still for you be Pete Lambert.
Yeah, it would still be Pete Lambert for me. Look, I mean, we've got a seven outing sample size here for Wisniewski, and it's been really good. Other than that August 15 start, I believe it was against the Angels, I think, where the wheels kind of came off a little earlier. And not at all minimizing that, but I mean, when you talk about Peter Lambert, I mean, Peter Lambert has been really good all year long, and has been, I mean, it's been impressive. And the question is obviously the innings. Do the innings that have piled up on him, does that end up taking a toll? And here late in the season, you know, do you see it fall apart a bit on him? And, you know, I think that is, obviously, we've never seen him this deep. I think that's a conversation. But right now, if the playoffs started right now, I would feel better going Hunter Brown, Peter Lambert with Wisniewski in the three spot.
I would. I would say Peter, just because I feel like I have a more clear understanding of what I'm getting. Like, I feel like if Peter pitches, I have a really good high level of confidence that I'm going to be in the game. Right, like when Peter is struggling, and you can go out there and you, like Peter did the other night. Peter had, I think, five walks. He hit a guy, and he almost got to five innings, and he gave up two runs. We've seen him go six innings, even fight it a little bit, give up two runs. I remember we were watching it in here. I just, for some reason in my mind, it was a game against the Blue Jays, and they were in Toronto, and baby, he was fighting it. I mean, fighting it. Tooth and nail. And he somehow picked himself up and got through five plus innings with two runs. So I feel like I know that. I think the chance for a dominating outing, I feel like Hayden Wisniewski brings more of that. This is like the second time, really his last two starts against the Yankees, he goes five innings and doesn't give up much. And kind of the strikeout thing is there. But I feel like I know more of what I'm going to get from Peter Lambert. So I think that's probably why I would put him in the second spot.
Yeah, I've just – of late, Wisniewski's been better. I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. And
Pete also has 132-plus innings on his arm.
There you go.
And Hayden has 39.
Yeah, but I would go with the larger sample size and feel really good about what I've got in my back pocket in Wisniewski, and for that three spot, that's where I'd go.
Text line coming in. Get off Hunter's show. No, I'm sorry. You can have different expectations for Hunter Brown. I have he could be the best pitcher in the American League expectations. And I mean, my man goes over a month without going more than five innings. That's a problem. All right, my man comes out. Now, he has turned it around, baby, and he's gotten through six right here. And shout out, well, he's almost gotten through six right here. It looks like this will probably be his last inning with 97 pitches and really rebounded after that bad inning. But no, like, this team has to have him, 44 and 71, be great for them to those guys you have to depend on and have to know what you're getting out of. Peter Lambert, we can't be saying, man, Peter, the manager can't come out and say, man, Peter Lambert's actually been our ace. I can't be. That can't be from Hunter Brown. Can't be. Shout out to him for getting up out of this one. And I know the talent, and I expect, and he might throw a no-hitter every time out. But he's like they need him to be great for this team to get as far as it can get. All right. Sometimes the relationship with our listeners, the text line and YouTube and Twitch is, you know, a little off at times. But I do like to respond and answer thoughtful questions towards me about things. And somebody hit me up with a real thoughtful question about CJ Stroud, and I spent some time to come up with the answer for it. We'll discuss that coming up next.